Multitudes. Multitudes. In the valley of decision. For the day of Jehovah is at hand. In the valley of decision. And Luke's Gospel. Chapter 23. Starting from verse 39. Now one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, "Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou too not fear God? Thou that art under the same judgment? And we, indeed, justly. For we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Back into the Old Testament, the book of Ruth. Chapter 1, it's on page 350 in my Bible. I want to start from verse 14. "And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after thy sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not entreat me to leave thee, to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and where there will I be buried. Jehovah do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left off speaking to her. Finally, back in the New Testament, in Mark's Gospel. Chapter 11. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sends two of his disciples and says to them, Go into the village which is over against you, and immediately on entering into it, you will find a colt tied, upon which no child of man has ever sat. Loose it and lead it here. If anyone say to you, Why do ye this? Say, The Lord has need of it. And straightway he sends it hither. And they departed and found a colt bound to the door, without at the crossway, and they loose him. And some of those who stood there said to them, What are ye doing, loosing the colt? And they said to them, As Jesus had commanded, and they let them do it, and they led the colt to Jesus. The poet says, standing perplexed at the crossway, not knowing which way to turn. And that's the essence of what I want to speak to you tonight. Not knowing which way to turn. What about you? Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Are you in that valley? The prophet says, it doesn't say a few, doesn't say a handful, it says many. Many are in that valley tonight, and are you? And that's the essence of the gospel. Have you taken the valley of acorns, the door of hope, out of the valley of decision? There is a door out of the valley of decision. It's already there. And have you gone through it? And this is why I read this passage, just to briefly refer to it. The prophet is speaking to the God's earthly people, I know. But this word comes right down to us in Worthing tonight. Not only in Worthing, it comes down to the whole world. How many, I say how many, are in that valley? You go outside into this world, how many do you find in the valley of decision? As the poet said, not knowing which way to turn. Not knowing. And the gospel's going out tonight to all. The gospel of divine grace, the gospel of divine mercy, to men, women, and children. Not only to adults, it's going out to everybody. Whoever, whatever nation, whoever it may be, it's going out in all the power of divine love, the power of divine grace. God reaching out his hand. He said it to his earthly people. He's stretching out his hand to a people who were disobedient. Isn't that today? Isn't that today? But yet his hand is still outstretched. What a mercy we have a God that we can present as such a God in the glad tidings. A forgiving God. A gracious God. A God who has a basis to forgive you, the guilty sinner, and me. How those of us who have come to the Saviour should be thankful for that work at Calvary's cross. You think of the cost. Think of the divine cost. It is without measure. The precious blood of Jesus, as the hymn writer says, precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Can you say it? I can. Can you say that that precious blood has been shed for you? Wondrous grace, if you've come to that conclusion, because you've come out of the valley of decision. You're out of those multitudes. You're into the area of divine grace and divine love. Because God, as I say again, is a God of love. He desires not the death of a sinner. He desires that you might come to him and acknowledge him as the one against whom you have sinned. That's the way that we come to appreciate the God of divine grace. There are certain steps that we have to appreciate. That we, as it says in the Roman epistle, and that is an epistle connected to God's glorious glad tidings. The gospel of God concerning his Son. That's why Paul wrote it. And what does he say in there? All men have sinned. Not just a few, not just a handful. No, all men have sinned. And what else does he say in there? And have come short of the glory of God. Where do you see God's glory? You see it, dear hearer, in Jesus. That's where it shines in all its beauty and magnificence. Psalm 24, the King in his glory. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Has he come into your heart? That is the question I'm asking you tonight. Is he reigning supreme in your affection? Now, I've read these three other passages, because they speak to us of those who made a decision. You think of the first one in Luke's Gospel. What a situation. What was in front of him? There's not a passage in Luke's Gospel so full of divine grace as this one. Divine love. There is my Saviour about to take onto himself all the guilt that lay against me. But yet he's able in his love to take account in all his agony, to take account of a guilty sinner, a malefactor. He can take account of you tonight. He can take account of any young one, any old one, anyone who may be slightly down in spirit. He takes account of you all. Takes account of all men. But here he's taking account of this malefactor. One malefactor. Person to person. There were two. They both had the same, could I say, opportunity. Both had the same. And one availed himself of the Saviour. Mm-hmm. One said, well, save us. But the other one said, no, hold on. Wait a minute. He rebuked his fellow. Dost thou too not fear God? We indeed under the same judgment. He come to an acknowledgement of his guilt. And that's the first step in the gospel, you know. There is the foundation laid. God has it, the means of your salvation and mine, in the precious blood of Jesus. It is set before him, whom God has set forth, a mercy seat in his blood. Wonderful truth. Wonderful truth. I say to every young one, read the epistle to the Romans, because you get the foundation of the gospel in your heart and your soul. There's nothing like it. And one of our old teachers said, Romans 3 is one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. One of the most beautiful. That's towards the end, of course. The righteousness of God is revealed. And you can be clothed with it. Nothing you deserve. Or I. But God will clothe you with his righteousness and justify you. That's the end of chapter 4, I know. But that's the two parts of the gospel. Righteousness being clothed, and then you're justified. But you've got this man here. He's at an extremity. He's not like us sitting in our chairs at this meeting room. He is at extremity. A severe extremity. Death is in front of him. And he knows which way to turn. Had he heard those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? I think so. He knew from that expression, I think, what the love of Jesus meant. So he rebukes his fellow. We justly. Repentance. That's the first step. From what we have done. But then, what does the Lord Jesus say to him? He says, remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. Remember me. The Lord Jesus went further than that. Today. Not tomorrow. Not the next day. But today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Extremity. Not knowing which way to turn, but he did. Death in front of him, in agony. Yes, because he had nails through his hands, the robber. In agony. He turned to Jesus and found what? He found typically, in actuality, salvation and peace. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I think this is a wonderful example of one who is saved with wondrous grace right at the end of his sojourn down here. Now when we come to Ruth, we have something different. We have two sorrowing women here. At last it happens. And Naomi said, well, go back to your own lands. Not quite a good gospel message, was it? To go to your own lands and go back to your own gods? Not a good gospel message, quite, was it? Go to find the gods of Moab? There are many gods in the world today. Let's appreciate that. Many. Business, drugs, sport, all gods in this world. And that's what he told, that's what Naomi typically told her to go back to. And she went. Valley of decision. She was still in it. She made a decision that was not according to divine grace. What did Ruth do? Think of what Ruth did here. She said, no, I am going to commit myself to what typically is the vessel of the testimony. I'm going back to the center of God's operations. What did she say? Do not entreat me to leave thee. Are you going to entreat the Lord Jesus to leave you? No, dear listener. Do you know, he's looking for maybe somebody in this room tonight. Maybe he is. Some older one, some younger one. Looking for them. We sang at the beginning of our meeting this morning as to a shepherd. A shepherd goes out in Luke 15 to look. He goes to search. And tonight, he may be searching for you. He's looking. Don't keep him waiting. He's been through the wilderness. He's been through a situation far beyond that you can imagine. He's been into the darkness. Been into that time of grief and agony for you. Shed his precious blood for you. The gospel seems to be pointing at the fault of mine, but the gospel is very, very personal. It's for you. For the person next door to you, yes, but it's for you. Tonight, someone once said, as to Jonah, if God had wanted to, he could have supplied him with an armchair in the belly of that fish, so he could talk to him in comfort. He came down to Adam, didn't he? Didn't come down to Adam in the heat of the day. He came down to Adam in the cool of the day, when it was comfortable for Adam to be talking to him. When he maybe he'd finished what he was doing. But God asked one very, very important question, which all of us have to answer. Where art thou? Not where are you, Adam and Eve, but where art thou? Where are you tonight, dear listener? Do you know the comfort and of the arms of the Saviour? Do you know? Because according to Luke 15, he gathered that sheep and put it upon his shoulders, not one, as his kingdom will be, but he will gather you on his shoulders and bring you home. He will bring you home. And another question in Luke 15. He didn't go after the younger son. The younger son left and had to come to the acknowledgement of his wrongdoing in repentance. And you know, that's the start of every Christian's walk down here. Every person, their Christian history starts when they come to God in repentance. That's the first start. And so here we get Ruth. Beautiful type of a believer who said, no, I'll commit myself to the to Naomi. Typically, I'm applying it now. She committed herself to the Saviour. Because she found the man of wealth. Have you found the man of wealth, Boaz? And he can supply all your need, not just a little. Not just a little. Every bit. You'll never ever be in want. I finished with just a reference to what I started with in Malachi, in Mark. Interesting passage of scripture. As I said, what the poet had to say about it. And he, in chapter 11, a colt. Does everybody know what a colt is? Do you know what a colt is? An untrained horse. An untrained horse. Quite young. And it's tied at the crossway. But it's untrained. No man had ever sat on it. Nobody. Nobody at all. And no one would dare get on an old, on an untrained horse. It has to be trained first. I'm speaking from a little bit of agriculture knowledge. An untrained horse. Would you have got on it? They have those things in America where they throw them off. But Jesus got on it. And Jesus calmed that. Because of who he is. Dear young person, dear older person, the Lord is able to take you to himself and give you peace and rest. Only he can do it. If you're worried, if you've got to make decisions, if you've got to make a decision for Christ, he's ready and willing to welcome you. Now. The gospel is now. Dr. Wollstone used to say, probably a name to most of us, Dr. Wollstone used to say, you've heard the gospel preaching. And he used to preach to a lot of students in Edinburgh University, a lot. And invariably, as he preached, there would be six or seven out of those university students come to the Lord during his gospel preachings. He used to say, you've heard the gospel. You go out of that door, unrepentant, you're a Christ rejecter. I just pass that as a warning to you, dear, dear listener. Receive Christ now, while there's opportunity. I can't promise you another gospel. The scripture doesn't speak of tomorrow as the day of salvation. It says today is the day of salvation. Doesn't promise me tomorrow. I can't guarantee tomorrow. I can't guarantee another hour. That's why it's important. That's why it's imperative. You come to the Saviour now. And I just want to close with a little story and something else. There was once a professor retiring, and he had to give an after-dinner speech. Some of you may have heard of this. And after before he gave his speech, someone asked him, what was his greatest achievement? Do you know what his answer was? Coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And he preached the gospel instead of giving his after-dinner speech. That was his greatest achievement in his life, and he did many other achievements in his life. But when I was here last, a few years ago now, I referred to a little booklet I had in my Bible. And I just want to share a little bit of it with you. The title of it is The Three Bidders. the three bidders. Some may know it, some may not. It concerns a noble lady who was in Edinburgh, journeying along a road, and the gospel preaching was being preached by Rowland Hill. And all the public had covered the road, and she was going to meet the king and queen of the country in those days. And the outriders said, "Get out of the way." Outriders would have been on horses in those days. Today I know they're on motorbikes, but still, that's an immaterial for this one. They said, "Get out of the way." And the preacher said, "I know this is the king's highway, but I want to hold it for a moment for the King of Kings. For the King of Kings, Jesus. I want to hold it for a moment." And is it in poetry? I know that, but I'm going to read a little bit of it to you. "I'm marking, and now in his name," that's the King of Kings, "a sail I proclaim, and bids for this fair lady call. Who will purchase the whole, her body and soul, coronet, jewels and all? I see already three bidders. The world steps up as the first. I will give her my treasures and all the pleasures for which my votaries thirst." That's his people. "She shall dance through each day more joyous and gay, with a quiet grave at the worst." Out speaks the devil boldly, "The kingdoms of earth are mine." Well, they're not. That's what he says. "Fair lady, thy name with an envied fame on their brightest tablets shall shine. Only give me thy soul." Let me just ponder that. That is what the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ is after. Your soul. Give it to Jesus while you have opportunity. "And I'll give thee their glory and wealth to be thine. And pray, what hast thou to offer them, thou man of sorrows?" Honour, honour. That's what the poet says. Is he known? Is he known to you? Known to all in this room? Unknown? Unknown in this world, but yet well known in heaven and well known amongst those who love him. He gently says, "My blood I have shed to purchase her for mine own. To conquer the grave and her soul to save, I trod the winepress alone. I give her my cross of suffering, my cup of sorrow to share. But with endless love in my home above, all shall be righted there. She shall walk in white, in a robe of light, and a radiant crown she shall wear." One of the last verses reads, "She took from her hands the jewels, the coronet from her brow. Lord Jesus," she said, as she bowed her head, "the highest bidder art thou." I want to ask whether he's the highest bidder for everyone who knows him not in this room tonight. Lady Huntingdon, that's who it was. I ask that each of us might know what it is to give our life to Jesus while there's still opportunity. He can supply all your wants, all your needs, everything. He will give you the help that you need to help you through this world. You can have it. Give thanks to God for his free gift. He will give you of his Spirit. You don't have to tread this wilderness alone. You've got him on high and the Spirit here. Wonderful grace. Wonderful love. May God bless the word.